Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm your host, Greg Gearing. Today I'm joined by Aaron Harries, Vice President of Research and Operations with the Kansas Wheat Commission. Aaron is here to talk about what he saw on the wheat tour last month and talk a little bit about upcoming harvest here. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Starting off, I know this year's tour was a couple weeks later than usual, and because of that, there was a different formula from NASS used to make projections. Is there more confidence in this estimate, and what was the forecasted harvest total for Kansas in wheat this year?
You're correct. So we did use a little bit of a different formula. When the tour is earlier, usually that first week in May, a large part of the wheat crop hasn't been headed out. And so we use a formula from NASS that counts all the tillers, and that formula assumes that not all of those tillers are going to reach maturity and have heads. But since we had the tour a couple weeks later this year due to COVID, most of the wheat crop was in fact headed, and we're able to count heads instead of tillers, so actual heads that the crop has produced. And that's more of an accurate yield estimate, whereas the first formula where you count tillers is just kind of an assessment. When you can count the numbers of heads that are actually there, it is in fact a more accurate yield estimate. So when all was said and done, how we produce our number at the end of the tour is the tour participants make an educated guess based on what they've seen the previous 3 days. So they don't necessarily have to go with the yield averages that were accounted for each day. They can take into account things that the formula won't take into account, like disease and hail and future weather patterns. But ultimately, the average of the group prediction was 365 million bushels. Which is above average. Our 5-year average production for Kansas has typically been around 330 million. So 365 million bushels, if reached, would be a really nice Kansas wheat crop.
How did that forecast kind of match up with or line up with expectations going into the tour here?
Well, I think the number that came out a week earlier was USDA's estimate, and that was about 331 million bushels, so quite a bit less. But a lot changed between that USDA tour and the Kansas wheat tour. A lot of late spring rains arrived just in the nick of time, especially in the drought-stricken areas, to at least salvage somewhat of a respectable crop. So the number was substantially bigger than USDA's prediction. But again, those weather conditions turn favorable, and that 1 week can make a huge difference in the amount of time in the crop. And I personally saw a night and day difference from a couple weeks before the tour to the week of the tour due to the rain that fell. And a lot of that is credit to our modern day genetics. Our wheat breeders at K-State, other breeding programs and private programs have really come a long way. And some of those wheat fields in places that were stricken by drought just really hang on a lot longer than they used to. You know, the wheat plants stick in there, and then they were able to take advantage of those late rains. Now, those aren't going to be super yielding areas that were in a drought, but at least there'll be some wheat production there that will probably surprise some people.
You mentioned those timely rains. They kind of hung around here for an extended period of time. What kind of disease pressure or even pests are people looking at with that extended moisture across the state?
It's a good point. You can't have too much of a good thing. And, you know, and in some places we've seen some rain. Kansas is full of irony, and in some places that were terribly dry have just, you know, gone a complete 180 and are way too wet right now. So recent travels I took through the state out west on I-70 in the low spots along I-70 around Salina and low spots all across the state, there's dead wheat. The wheat just doesn't like those wet feet, as we call it, the low rainy spots in the field, and that wheat will die out. And so that's, you know, that's a scattered problem. It's not a huge widespread problem, but there are, you know, we are welcoming somewhat this drier, sunnier weather we're having. But it does have another impact on disease pressure. When we were out on the tour, the stripe rust or yellow rust was pretty well kept in check. Farmers have really done a good job of managing their wheat crop and spraying the fungicides. What our concern turns to now is, can the spraying stay ahead of the disease? You know, as we have these moisture conditions, Stripe rust doesn't like the warmer weather, but leaf rust, the other type of rust, does like the warmer weather. So is that going to come on? You know, there's a window where farmers can spray fungicide, and that window is closed in a lot of places because you have to have an interval between when you spray fungicide and harvest, and that window has closed. So can the wheat crop mature and produce the grain before being overcome by some of these rust diseases is certainly a concern.
I guess about, a week after the tour ended, we were reminded once again that in agriculture, nothing is certain and there's only estimates. Hail moved through central Kansas. Do you have any sense of what that might be doing to the crop there?
Well, we've certainly seen some fairly widespread losses. You know, hail losses are not necessarily, have a huge impact on statewide production, but it sure hurts when it hits locally. And it seems to me that some of our recent hailstorms were making up for a few lost years of maybe below average hail. And so we have seen some widespread hailstorms northwest, north central, down through central Kansas. And some of those fields are wiped out. And that's, you know, that, of course, just hurts for farmers who've got a good wheat crop out there and watch that destroyed at the last minute, so to speak. From a research perspective, we've got some bad news from the K-State breeding program located in Hayes. That research farm is on the south side of Hayes, on the south side of town. And they were pretty well wiped out by a recent hailstorm. So all the test plots, all the new lines and varieties coming out of that program in Hayes were set back at least a year and maybe 2 years in some cases because of those losses to the hailstorms. So that's a big hit for wheat research and thus wheat farmers, and that pipeline of wheat varieties coming out of that program is going to be set back a year or two. But that's Kansas. We know that's a possibility of hail every year, and whether it hits a farmer's field or a research field, those are the things we have to live with.
As you were out on tour, could you sense a shift in the mood of growers? I know prices are certainly better than they were last year, and things are kind of getting back to normal. Is that mood shifting in the countryside?
Well, I certainly think there's a higher level of optimism, you know, not just tied to the wheat market, but the other commodities as well. You know, wheat's kind of been following the price of corn, as has the other commodities, but it certainly increases optimism and boosts the moods of farmers out there. Yeah, so I think you're sensing that tide. You know, whether that market can sustain itself is kind of doubtful. So hopefully farmers will have the benefit of these higher prices and bigger crops, not just the wheat crops, but from our fall row crops too. So a chance to make a fairly good living this year with the market situation we have. What implications that has for planted wheat acres next fall, it's probably a little bit too early to tell. You know, I suspect that we'll have a lot of soybean acres in Kansas, and soybean acres tend to sometimes be harvested later. And it's a little bit tough to follow back into those soybean fields with wheat if it gets too late. So there's always the chance that increased soybean and corn acres might have an impact and decrease our wheat acres next fall. So we'll just have to keep an eye on that. But at the same time, even as our wheat acres have been declining the past several years, farmers have just been doing an excellent job of managing their wheat crops. And you combine that with the better genetics, and we've really seen a new yield plateau in the state. If we hit our predicted yield of 50 something bushels an acre this year, you know, the previous 6 years, our average production will be about 48 bushels per acre in Kansas for the state average. And the 6 years prior to that, it was around 36 bushels an acre. So we've really reached a new yield plateau, showing what wheat can do in Kansas if you get a little bit of help from favorable weather and farmers really intensely managing their wheat crops. So we continue to produce more wheat on fewer acres.
Always a great story to tell of farmers doing more with less. I don't have any more questions for you today. Do you have any final thoughts here before we go?
Well, the wheat crop is probably a little bit behind schedule, maybe about a week. We'll see if we catch up. harvest has begun in Oklahoma, and they really should be underway fully by now, but their wet weather has just hampered them. And we're going to start seeing quality issues because you've got a mature wheat crop out there in wet fields getting rained on. I suspect we might see some harvest start in Kansas maybe by the end of next week. So we'll see how that goes. If we can get some favorable weather the next week to 10 days, I think things will catch up. That wheat crop will speed up. Wheat had been turning color around Salina, so it doesn't take too long. And while we may start harvest a little later here in Kansas, I imagine it won't be very long and we'll be in that harvest time of year.
Looking forward to it. That's Aaron Harries with the Kansas Wheat Commission. Aaron, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Craig.
That's it for this edition of Inside Ag. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. From Manhattan, I'm Greg Deering for Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. Inside Ag is made possible by Kansas Farm Bureau members in each of the state's 105 counties. To become a member, visit www.kfb.org/join.